This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
My wife and I just got back yesterday. We got to go see, get to share one of a great moment, and that's to see our daughter graduate from college. And so she graduated from college. It was amazing. I don't know if I have a picture of it or not, but I'm kind of, you know, a little jealous. But anyway, do I not have a picture of it? I thought I had a picture of it. Anyway, we went all the way out to the country of Philadelphia, and I'll just tell you that they say Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. It's not true. And when you get on you go to the airport in Philadelphia and you say, "Hey, hello," and they go, "Shut up," and and you get back to Missoula, and the guy's waiting there, you're like, "Hello," and he goes, "Welcome back to Missoula." You know, they're very kind. So it's two different worlds, but man, it was amazing to go out there and just see Rachel and all her accomplishments and graduate and to be those parents for a little while and hang out with them. So anyway, it was good. So we're here, we're on Mother's Day at CLC. And again, we want to just say welcome to all of our moms, and we're so blessed to have you as part of our lives and stuff. So this morning, I want to talk to you real quick about if you've been to our service. First of all, if you're a visitor, thank you so much for being with us this morning. I know there's a lot of people that come with mom, and they're visiting with us, and just want to say thank you for being here. Kim and I would love to meet you if you're visiting with us, and we also have a free gift. There's a welcome center right out these two doors, and we have a free gift we'd love to just hand off to you and grab a coffee on us, we want to just let you know we're so glad you're with us this morning. But if you've been with us for the last few weeks, I've been kind of talking about in some of my messages about what I would call famous walks in the Bible, right? So a few weeks ago, we talked about Joshua and how they had come to the city of Jericho, and for 6 days, they walked around this city that God had told the Israelites they were going to have, and they walked around this city, and on the seventh day, they shouted, and if you know the Bible story, as they shouted, the walls came crumbling down, and Joshua and the Israelites, they won this incredible victory. It was an amazing walk. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, if you had been with us, we talked about another incredible wow walk. And it was about Peter, where Jesus comes walking on the water, and Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking toward him. In fact, like we said, there was 12 disciples in this boat, but only one had the courage and the strength and the know-how to ability to want to get out and do something incredible and do an incredible walk as he walked on water. And this morning, I want to talk to you about another walk, another important biblical walk, but maybe it's a little undertone, like it's like you have to really look for it to see it. I came across this picture. It's a crosswalk in Japan. And I saw this, and it really resonated with me because I feel like the Lord kind of used it to speak to me. It's a famous intersection. And what really stood out is obviously all the major crosswalks that's there. And if you've ever been to a major city, you know that sometimes crosswalks can be difficult, dangerous, and all those things. And there's nothing worse than crossing a road in a busy intersection in a busy city and realize that you're on the wrong side of the road and you have to get back across and go the other way. It's always crazy, right? And I remember like the first time I was ever in school and I decided I did not want to go to the crosswalk to get to the playground because it's much easier just to run across the road, right? And then I'm like 5 years old and the policeman yells at me and stops and says, "I just broke the law." And I'm like, and he called me a jaywalker. I'm like, what does a five-year-old know anything about a jaywalker, right? I'm just trying to get to the other side. And I saw this picture and I saw these crosswalks and then I saw the cross in the middle and I thought, man, isn't that who we're supposed to be? Like there's so many people who have so many ways of life. They're at crossroads, they're at crosswalks, and they're trying to get to different destinations, different places. But I believe that God has placed Christian Life Center, this church, and us here to be that bridge that connects all kinds of people. We're that bridge that connects people to experience who Jesus is and how great Jesus is. And yet many people are on this journey and they're walking from one destination to the other. And yet Jesus came and he died so that we could bridge that and that we could fill the void inside our lives. And I believe that's who God has destined us to be. So I want to talk to you about an important under the radar walk from the Bible. Matthew chapter 19 tells an incredible story. Many of you have probably heard it before at some point where Jesus confronts or talks to a rich young ruler. And it's in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, and it starts out this way, and if you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen for you, but this is what he says. This rich young ruler is there, and he says to him, he says, "Just then a man came up to Jesus, and he asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? What good thing must I do to get eternal life?'" Now, hear me this morning. This is a great, incredible question. Because what this question that this rich young ruler is asking Jesus, it exemplifies something. It tells us something. It tells us this, that this man, this rich young ruler, is saying that he believes in eternal life. He believes that there's life beyond this present life, as you and I should as well. That there's something that's beyond this. Because when your life is over, here's what I know this morning. If your life is over, two things in your life continue. Number one, when life is over, it continues in the legacy that you leave behind, right? You continue to live in the children that you've left behind. If you don't have children, you continue to live in the friendships and the legacies of those that you've impacted along the way, and your legacy continues to live on with them. It continues to live on in that way. The other way that it lives on is that it continues to live on where you're heading as well. The man says that he believes when he closes his eyes, that when he closes his eyes, that it won't be the last time that we close our eyes. When you and I close our eyes, it's not gonna be the last time we close our eyes. We believe that when we close our eyes on earth, we will open them in the presence of Jesus. And that's basically what this guy is saying, is I believe in eternal life. This is what the man says, he believes in it, but in just a moment, we're gonna see in this scripture where Jesus calls him out on it. So he goes on and he says this, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. And Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" So there was like this excitement in this rich young man because he was kind of delusional. He's like, "Hey, I've kept great, boom, bingo, check. I've done all these things," right? That's what he's saying to himself. "I've done everything." But I want you to know something. I believe that this man was probably 100% deceived, right? Because if we said to each other, let's be honest with each other, can we all honestly say in here, we've never lied? I mean, can we all say in here that we've never maybe dishonored our mom or dad? Or that we've never been unkind to someone. I mean, can we really all say that? And yet, maybe we haven't murdered somebody. At least I hope not. Or maybe we haven't committed adultery. But can we really say we've kept all the commands? And that's what this guy's saying. Hey, he's deceived. He's like, I've kept them all. And I would say, no way, man, you're deceived. You know, there's a difference between deceived and lying, right? Lying is like when you're not telling the truth and you know it. Like, when you look at that baby and you go, "That's a cute baby," you know you're lying, right? I mean, not your baby. Your baby's adorable. But you know, you're lying. And then there's like the other side of it. There's a deception is different. When you're deceived, you think you're telling the truth, but you don't know that you're lying. It's like when you say, "My diet starts tomorrow," right? You actually believe that your diet starts tomorrow. But when tomorrow comes, and we all know what happens, right? It didn't start. When you're eating yourself and your friend goes, "Hey, wait," and you go, "It starts at noon." Right? But Jesus has to help him understand the depth. The rich young ruler, he has to help him understand the depth of his deception. And he goes on and he says this to him. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. What I want to tell you this morning is another version. I love what it says. It says, and he walked away. He walked. He went away. He walked away. I want you to understand something. Please note this. Jesus wasn't asking for the money for himself. See, some people get that confused. Like, well, what was Jesus? He was just greedy himself. He just wanted the man's money. Jesus wasn't asking money for himself. He didn't want the money. He was using the money, as he often does with us, to expose things in our hearts that we don't even know are there. And he's asking him that. The man really thought that he believed in heaven. He really thought that he believed in eternal life. But what Jesus showed him, another side of it. He showed him another part of his heart. And I think Jesus is saying, I don't get it, man. I think if Jesus could speak in our vernacular, he would be like, I don't get it. You say you believe in heaven, but if you believe in heaven, why aren't your bags packed? Why aren't you doing everything you can just to follow me? If you believe in heaven, then why are you fighting with me to hold on to your stuff? Like, if you believe, really believe there's more than just this life, then why not get ready for it? Why not do everything you can? Why not get your bags ready, build treasures that have eternal value? Not all this stuff that you have right now. He's telling this rich young ruler, you're really good at talking the talk, but you're not real good at my sermon title this morning, Walking the Walk. You're really good at talking the talk, but you're not real good at walking the walk. One of the most important walks I think you will ever walk in your life is when you have to walk the walk. Not when you have to prove it to mom or dad or to an aunt or an uncle, to a grandma or grandpa, to a friend, to a brother. Not that type, but when you have to prove it to yourself. When you have to prove it to yourself. How do you walk in the adversities in your life? When things don't go your way, how do you walk? Moms in the room, when your kids don't respond the way you want, how do you walk? Now my son gave my wife a Mother's Day card, and I was just told this morning that she didn't open it. But that's okay. She's going to know what it says right now. Because this is what my wife got her Mother's Day card from Braden, and this is what it says on the front of the card. Mom, I remember when I was little and running away seemed like the only option. And you open the card, and it simply says, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you didn't. When you walk the walk, when the disciples heard this, what you understand too is, so the disciples are around, they're hearing Jesus interact with this rich young ruler, and if you read on to the scripture, you'll find that the disciples are very discouraged. They're upset when they hear this interchange between this rich young ruler and Jesus, because in the biblical times, if you were rich, you were considered righteous. If you had money, if you had prestige, you were considered righteous. The thought was, if you were rich, you must be righteous because you've got this blessing, you have money, you have prestige, so there must be something spiritually special about you. So when they saw the rich man and he couldn't make it to heaven, the disciples' mentality basically, like, they're getting discouraged. And they have that mentality that maybe sometimes you and I have, that's like, well, if he can't get into heaven, then how could I get to heaven? I mean, if this rich guy can't get to heaven, how could I possibly make it to heaven? And look how Jesus responds to the disciples. In verse 25, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? But I love this. Jesus responds to them. With man, this is impossible, but with God. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. But with God, everything is possible. How many of you believe that with God, all things are possible? Come on. How many of you believe that this morning? With all things, with God, it's impossible. I'm definitely one of those people who believe anything is possible. I am way confident. Like I am probably uber super duper confident. I'm more confident than I probably deserve to be. In fact, some might say I'm overconfident. Like, I remember the time I saw something on TV, a cooking show, and I just mainly, my confidence rose up, and I said, I'm gonna be a baker, right? And I looked at Kim and I said, I'm going to make your chocolate chip cookies, right? Say my name, Heath E. McCoy. And when I get my mind to it, I'm going to do it. And I said, I'm going to make your amazing chocolate chip cookies, but I'm going to make them better than you. And you know what? I baked those chocolate chip cookies. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot, toot. They really weren't that great. They really weren't that great. I remember Braden, like, he still does his day, like, all the time. Like, we'll be watching some sports on TV or something, and, like, we're watching gymnastics, and they're flipping all over the floor, and all of a sudden he'll just look at me and he goes, "Dad, you think you can do that?" I'm like, "Easy." He'll say to me, "Oh, hey, Dad, like, you think you can take Michael Jordan in one-on-one?" I'm like, "Easy. Got him. Piece of cake," right? Until I see something like this, right? Kryptonite. I see that, I'm like a dog just going, my head goes like this. I don't have a clue, right? I don't know how to, I can't work it. Only mom knows how to work it. I know this thing, we just got it. It plays like when it's done, it plays like a 1 minute song to tell you it's done. And we'll be sitting there quiet, and I'll see you hear this 1 minute song going off on the washing machine. I'm like, and we can't figure out how to make that stupid thing stop, right? We got to YouTube it, everything. Like, how do you get this song to stop? It just goes on and on. I see that, and I'm like, I realize some things are impossible. And I give up. But hear me, let me say something to you this morning. When did that happen for you? Like, what adversity, what season in your life took your optimism? What adversity, what season in your life took your belief that all things are possible? What took it from you? What took your belief that all things are possible and shifted your mindset to give you limits? Or maybe even more, to make you think that you serve a limited God? What adversity, what came in your life? You started that all things are possible, but you've shifted to maybe things are impossible. Maybe it was the dreams that you've had for your life and they've just shattered along the way. Maybe it's life didn't turn out as you planned. Maybe you thought the bank account would never look like this. You couldn't imagine it. Maybe health-wise, you thought, it all started with possibility, but now you look at your health and you're like, I just feel impossible. Maybe it was relationships, so much promise and potential you had, and now it feels like impossible. It feels helpless. Maybe there's sin or depression in your life, and you come to church, and you hear the music playing, and the pastor is preaching, and it feels possible to overcome until you get home. When you get home, what felt possible at church feels impossible at home. Here's the question for us today as a community, as a church. What do we do in life when we're faced with the impossible? What do we do in life when we're faced with the impossible? You can respond like the rich young ruler responded, right? You could just simply say, hey, he walked away. He talked the talk, but he just eventually got to a place where he just walked away. But it was never in Jesus' intention to use the impossible to get the man to walk away. Like, sometimes we give Jesus the bad rap, like, man, well, Jesus, could you have been a little kinder? Could you have been a little softer? Because that's what society says, right? Let's talk about the nice, flowery, kind Jesus. But, you know, it was never Jesus' intention to get the man to walk away. Jesus wanted to use the impossible to get the young man to walk the walk. He's talking the talk, but he wanted him to walk the walk, which is why he said to them, sell everything and follow me. The whole goal of what it was to get him to walk the walk. Because hear me, church, sometimes God has to place you and I in an impossible situation to get you to turn to him. Sometimes you have to come to the end of yourself before you start finding the beginning of God. Sometimes you have to come to the end of your strength before you're willing to tap into the strength of God. In fact, which brings me to my first point this morning. It goes like this. Impossible is not an impasse, it's an intersection. Impossible is not an impasse, it's an intersection. Impossible is it's where your weaknesses meets God's strength. It's possible is where your super meets God's supernatural. Because here's what you know, before you believe that God can do it, you have to believe that you can't. Before you believe that God can do it, you have to believe that you can't. And that's tougher sometimes, right? A few years ago, when Braden was younger, I bought him Legos. And I bought him because I thought, man, this would be cool. He wanted to do it. I thought, maybe this is something we could do together. we bought some Legos, and it was kind of fun, and we're hanging out together. We're learning how to play Legos. It was awesome, right? Until he saw this. Then he's like, he saw all the pieces, and he's like, Dad, I need your help. Dad, can you help me? Right? He was all excited until he saw the pieces. It took him seeing the pieces to realize that he needed some help, right? And maybe that's somehow sometimes like us, right? We need to see the pieces in our lives before we'll ask God for help. Maybe we need to see why our finances are so, get our finances so bad and see all the pieces of it before we finally ask God for help. Maybe if in your health journey, you're like, hey, it's always until I see the pieces of my health is when I'll finally learn to ask God for help. Because we feel like we can do life on our own until we see all the pieces. We can easily talk the talk until it's time to walk the walk. Because if we think we can do it on our own, we'll never turn to him for help. Did you know, I always know the three easiest people groups to preach to are people in the hospitals, in jail, or at funerals. Why? Because they're already here. They're in pieces. And they're ready to hear from God. They're ready to turn from him and see what he has for them. And I don't know about you, but does it some way remind you? I think I look at this and I said, I look at all these pieces and it sometimes reminds me of the world we live in right now. The chaos is kind of like the world's in pieces, right? And we're needing something to happen. We need something to take place. I mean, think about it. You and I have gone through beta and delta and gamma and Mo and Omicron and Megatron and like Pi and Kappa. And you know, we've gone through all this. And maybe, hear me church, maybe it's gonna take going through the whole Greek letters until we turn to the Alpha and the Omega. Until we turn to the Alpha and Omega. As much as I believe in science and our country, no specialist and no politician is gonna write a check big enough to get us out of what we're in. We need God. We need God. Nobody can put the pieces back together but the Lord. Nobody. In fact, remember what Jesus says in Matthew 19 again. He simply writes it out. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Maybe he had to get us here so that we can get with him. Here's what I know, man, is as soon as I started to help Braden with Legos, as soon as I started to help him with the pieces, one day we're, true story, like, right? I'm helping him, like, all right, I'm gonna help you, buddy. Start walking. He starts to walk away. And I'm like, whoa. I said, Braden, where are you going? He said, well, I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, I can do it for you, but I didn't buy this to do it for you. I'm gonna do it with you, buddy. Let's do it together. I think point two, what God is saying to us this morning, impossible is not the end of progress, but it's an invitation to partner. It's an invitation to partner. God has put you in an impossible place in life because he wants to partner with you. He doesn't want to do anything for you. He wants to partner with you. Not do it for you, but do it with you. He wants to do it with you. And when Brady and I started building, true story, when we started building the Legos together, guess what? Believe it or not, there was some interest from Kim. Believe it or not, Rachel even got interested in what we were doing. The whole family got involved. And you know what that's called, right? You know what that's called, right? When the father gets the brothers and sisters together to build something cool, you know what it's called? It's called the church. It's called the church. When the father, this father, gets all the brothers and sisters together to build something that the brothers and sisters could not build on their own. It's called the church. Why? Because what's impossible for me is possible for we. What's impossible for me is possible for we. That's why I love the local church, because of the power of we. And here's what I know about our church right here at Christian Life Center. Stories run deep. Stories run deep of how God has used people in our church. Stories run deep of how God has done different things throughout our history. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I really believe this, that that's not the end of the story, but that there's still blank pages of the story that are to be written. There's still blank pages of the story that are to be told about people in our own church, the legacy that we'll leave, because we may see the impossible, but God says anything is possible. In fact, the Bible reminds us where two or three are gathered in my name, whatever you ask on earth shall be done in heaven. Don't look back on your past and let that limit you. Wherever you've been and whatever you've gone through, don't look back on your past and let it limit you, right? We all have those God stories, right? I remember I have a God story. Where was God? Where were you, God? I remember when Kim and I, we lost our first child. And I remember when the doctor told us, hey, you've lost this first child. I remember riding in the car, Kim probably remembers too, and we're riding down the road and there's silence. Like nobody, we don't know what to say to each other. We don't know what to talk about, but I can tell you what was on our mind. God, what's going on here? What's happening? Why us? What, God? Where was God? But I can tell you all these years later, I still believe in the possibility of we. I still believe that God can still use me. I still believe that God is in control. I still believe that with God, all things are possible. What history says is impossible for me, God says is possible for we. Whatever your history says, you might tell yourself you're impossible, but God says, no. You're not impossible, because you and I together, we create possibility. We create possibility. Maybe your history tells you that you've never been successful. Maybe your history tells you that you've always failed. Maybe you're one of those people, you're a great starter but terrible finisher. Listen to me. Now, your future, you think to yourself, your future is limited. Hear me this morning. Your future, you might think it's limited, but I want to encourage you. You need to know this. Don't let history be your prophet. Don't let history be your prophet. The word of God is what declares truth over our lives. Because what history says is impossible for me, God says is possible for we. And I think about this. The church is an impossibility, right? Take a look around you. In this room, right there, you've got young people. You got married people. You got single people. You got moms and dads. You got wise people. See what I did there? All right. I didn't say old. I said wise, all right? You got wise people. You got rich people, poor people, middle income people. The world says we ought to be divided, right? The world says we ought to be divided based on all these factors, right? It shouldn't be possible, but what the world says is impossible for us, God says is possible for we. Which brings me to a third point. Impossible is not your limitation, it's your legacy. Impossible is not your limitation, it's your legacy. Hear me this morning. I need to talk to someone who's in an impossible situation in this room today. I need to talk to somebody in this room who's at a certain age or a mindset where you think that you're at the end of your story. Or maybe you think you have nothing to offer and your story is over. It's the part of, I want you to know this morning that this is the part of your story where everyone's going to remember you. This is the time not to just to talk the talk, but to walk the walk. And by walking the walk, it'll be the part of your story that people will talk about, that people will remember. And God still has more for your story to be talked about. You know why? Because what's impossible to do is impossible to forget. What is impossible to do is impossible to forget. Let me ask you something. Do y'all remember the name of the rich young ruler? The one I read about in Matthew 19, do y'all remember his name? What was his name? His name's not there. His name's not in the Bible because nobody remembers it. The rich young ruler is used, however, in the Bible, but it's a different rich young ruler. It's a different, totally different guy. But guess what? We know his name. Matthew 25, verse 27 says this. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. He had himself become a disciple of Jesus. All right, rich guy, but his name is remembered. I mean, what's the difference? We have a guy, rich guy, rich young guy whose name is remembered, but with a rich young guy whose name is not remembered. What's the difference? Well, look at Matthew 27, verse 58. It says, going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed in it his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, and went away. The tomb that Jesus actually gets buried in is that of Joseph, the rich ruler. Different ruler, but we know his name. Which is crazy, right? Because a gravestone is how people remember you when you die. Like, it's that place where people go and they reflect and they remember you. It's the gravesite. It's the gravestone that remembers that. And what Joseph did, the rich guy group was saying, what he was basically saying was, I'm willing to give my life away. I'm willing to give my life away that it gets forgotten on earth so that I'll be remembered in heaven. I'm willing to give it all away, give my life away here on earth so that it will be remembered in heaven. Wow. Let me tell you something this morning. The goal isn't to live on earth forever, but to leave something that does. The goal isn't to live on earth forever, but to leave something that does. And we know his name to this day, Joseph of Arimathea. He gave so that Jesus can do a miracle. He gave so that Jesus can do a miracle. I don't know how she does it, but my wife watches these HGTV shows, and it's like this spell she puts on me that draws me in to watch it too. I don't know how she's got some gift. And I find myself enthralled into these shows, watching these transformations. And what I find in here is like every time they're in this transformation house, they're pulling off a wall to uncover something else behind that wall. Oh, we didn't know that was there. Or they uncover, pull up a floor and like, oh, well that, we didn't know that was there. They uncover something else that had been there from a time before. So let me ask you something. What are you building here on earth that's going to be just painted over by somebody someday? What are you building on earth right now that's just gonna get painted over by somebody else someday? Listen to me, what are you spending so much time investing in that's just gonna get painted over by somebody one day that nobody will ever remember, that everyone will eventually forget? Listen, all of us have an impossible story, but imagine if you took your impossible story and you mixed it with a possible God. Imagine what we could do. Imagine the legacy. Imagine what could be written. What legacy could be told? What we could leave behind? I remember sitting at my daughter's graduation this week, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching, and again, I know I'm biased, but I believe my biases are right. So I'm sitting there and I'm like watching her lead worship, and I'm watching her do all these things, and I'm amazed, right? I watch the call that's on her life and the anointing and the courage to follow it. And I remember sitting on the front row of graduation and all the graduates are over there. And I remember just looking down the aisle because I could see down and I could look at her and I could watch her. And I remember just sitting there thinking, man, I'm just an impossible life. I shouldn't be here today. This shouldn't be happening based on my impossible life. But thank you, Lord, for allowing me to take my impossible life and join it with a possible God. Because this possible God allowed this thing to happen. I mean, I could have followed a different path, wrote a different history, wrote a different story. But thank God I can look at my daughter Rachel and the anointing that's on her and her willingness to follow God, and I'm like, Lord, thank you. I'm an impossible person, but you are a possible God. And when that became together, wow, what we could accomplish, what we could do, what we could see happen. Mothers, today in this room, I know you want to leave a godly legacy for your children. I know you want to leave a godly legacy for your grandchildren. But I encourage you, mothers, today, walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. Make sure the things that you are investing in go beyond you. Make sure everything that you're investing in, young, man, old, whoever you are in the room, we need to be investing in the things that go beyond us. We need people who are all in, who want to invest, who want to leave a legacy, who believe in an impossible God. Because hear me this morning, that's legacy. The thing you leave keeps going. That's what legacy is. The thing that you leave keeps going and reproducing and reproducing and reproducing and reproducing. I think the church no longer needs drop off or speed bumps. We need men and women who are willing to pack your bags and let's get ready for the journey that God has called us to. Let's get ready, CLC, for what God has called us to. Let's get ready to go for it. Let's make as much impact on earth so that what we do on earth is seen in heaven. Let's make as much impact so that whatever we do on earth is seen in heaven. You know what I love about Joseph of Arimathea? He didn't have to actually resurrect Jesus. He didn't put a special potion in or say a special prayer, right? It's crazy. If you go to Jerusalem today, and some of you may have been there before, if you go to Jerusalem today, you will find there'll be a line of people standing outside of Joseph's tomb, paying money to see it. Paying money to see it. Why? Because a miracle happened there. A miracle happened there. And all Joseph had to do to see a miracle is willingly give up the tomb. All he had to do is willingly say, here, you can have it. He didn't have to do anything special. It's just an empty tomb. It's just a hole cut into the mountain. And he just simply said, here. And by giving it away, God performed a miracle. Why? Why? Let me give you the final point this morning. Impossible is not what God asks you to do. It's what he asks you to make space for. It's what he asks you to make space for. Joseph didn't have to resurrect Jesus. He just had to make a space for the resurrection to take place. You don't have to do anything special. You just need to say, hey, God, here's my life. Use it to be a miracle. Lord, here's my circumstances. Here's my adversity. God, here's my pieces. Put them all back together. You do what you want. I just submit to you and I'll become a miracle because you're a possible God. I'm impossible. You're possible. Here's my life. Here's my pieces. Put it back together again. I'll just be used by you. Here's my tomb. Do what you want with it, God. It's yours. The funny thing about the tomb, again, it's empty. There's nothing in there, right? He just made it available. Here, God, it belongs to you. Because when we do what's possible, God will do what's impossible. But it all comes down to the word do, right? Let me give you examples this morning. Some of you might say in the room, well, I believe in prayer. I think prayer works. I think everyone who loves Jesus should pray, right? But not enough to actually pray. Not enough to actually do it. Some of you in the room say, I believe in giving. I believe that God blesses. I believe that God provides for us. I believe that in reaping and sowing. I believe in all those things, but I do believe in it, but not enough to actually walk the walk. Not enough to actually do it. Some believe that serving the church is important. I think a lot of us in the room believe that if we serve in our church, that God will use us and ultimately we will impact our community, right? And we're like, I believe in serving. Yeah, everyone should serve, but we're good at talking the talk, but I don't believe it enough to actually walk the walk. I don't believe it enough to actually serve. Now hear me, second service. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feeling. This is actually the encouraging part of my sermon. Go figure. What I'm saying is, don't be overwhelmed by the impossible, because God is not asking us to do the impossible. He's simply asking us to do what's possible. He's not asking us to do the impossible. He's just asking us to do what's possible. Listen, as your lead pastor, I believe, maybe I'm just too optimistic, but I believe Christ has amazing things for Christian Life Center. I'm believing for increase in people. I'm believing for more staff. I'm believing for more finances. I'm believing for more people to serve. I'm believing that we are going to be making an impact in Missoula and beyond the world. And some of you might be saying, hey, Pastor Heath, you know what? You're basically a new guy. Just shut up, right? Just hang in there, man. You're the new dude, right? Earn your way. It's a tough ask. You're asking a lot of us. And I would just simply say to you, that's okay. God's not asking me to do the impossible. He's only asking me to do what is possible. And I think the biggest thing comes down to is just like, hey, God, here's my life. The biggest thing I do is just give you my pieces and allow you to put me back together. And I just want to say to you this morning, moms, dads, student, single, old, wise, sorry, whoever you are, I just want to say to you this. God has an impossible life for you. He has an impossible life for you, right? But I think it begins with not just talking the talk, but it's walking the walk, taking the bold steps to walk forward, right? But thankfully, we might be impossible, but thankfully, we serve a possible God where all things are possible. I close with this. I remember when I was 6 years old, I'll tell you about my possible God moment. It wasn't till then, right, where, till I mean, I raised in the church, it wasn't till then that it impacted my life. And it wasn't even in an Assembly of God church, it was in a Baptist church, so don't tell anybody, all right? But I was in a Baptist church, and I'm 6 years old, and I can tell you the moment I had this impossible encounter with God. And it's funny, it happened through a puppet. And it wasn't even like a talking puppet, it was a worm. It was a worm puppet. And this worm puppet's across stage, and I'm 6 years old, and I'm listening to it, and this worm puppet is singing this song. And the song went something like this. I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I'm a great big bundle of potentiality, and I am learning to hear God's voice, and I am trying to make the right choice, because I'm a promise to be anything God wants me to be. And I'm sitting there at 6 years old, and I'm crying. It was at that moment where I'm like, wait a minute, I can be possible with God. God has possibilities for me. He has potential for me. He has great things for me. And it took a puppet worm to drive that into my life. But even to this day, I remember, I'll never forget the song, and I'll never forget the puppet worm, because it impacted me so much. And I want you to be impacted today, that God is, we're living in a day where we can no longer just talk the talk, but we have to be willing to walk the walk. We have to really understand that, yeah, we are impossible people, but we serve a possible God, that all things are possible with him. And no matter your history, and no matter your situation, no matter you find yourself in life right now, God has impossible things for you, things that he wants to accomplish and use you for. You just got to grab a hold that you are a promise, that you are a possibility. You are a promise with a capital P, right? You're a great big bundle of potentiality. Imagine what we could do together as a church if we just start practicing walking the walk. We got the talk down, but are we willing to walk the walk? Father, this morning, I thank you for this privilege we have just to call on your name, to be encouraged that we serve a God where all things are possible. And Lord, humanly, we can't accomplish it. We're nothing but a bunch of pieces. And when we look at the pieces, it's overwhelming. When we look at all the mess, it's overwhelming. But when we take our impossibility and we take your possible and we put the two together, Lord, the we gets real big. And so I pray for, first of all, for people in this room who've been doing life solo. They've been doing life all by themselves. And all along, there's a God saying, hey, I want to partner with you. I want to partner with your impossible life. And maybe we've resisted it, or maybe we've just kind of like kept it on the side table. And God's saying, no, man, I want to partner with you in life. I want to journey with you in life. I ask today, God, that you would forgive us. If any of us, even myself, even as an organization, as a church, if we've ever exemplified that the rich young ruler who wanted to hang on to just some parts of our lives without submitting it all, my prayer today as a church that we would be willing to submit it all to you, everything. That we'd submit our lives to you, our finances, our ways, our thoughts, Lord, our families, that everything would belong to you, God. Help us today, Lord, want to follow you and live for you. So Lord, begin to move on our hearts as we just close out in worship today. In a moment, would you just begin to speak to us individually? Begin to speak intimately right where we are. And we're just going to worship for a moment. Dylan's going to lead us. And right where you are, maybe this is a great time just to have that conversation with God. And it's really simple. David laid it out for us in the Psalms, like, hey, just examine my heart. And maybe that's the prayer for all of us in this room today. God, would you examine my heart? Am I partnering with you? Am I walking the walk? Am I willing to walk the walk? And allow God through this time just to speak to you. Let's do that together.
You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answer prayers back then. You will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were provider then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Touch the lepers then. You need your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God.
So true, He is the same God today. He's the God of the impossible. Close out this morning. I just want to do this. Our heads proud, eyes closed. Can I just pray for you? If you're here this morning, you just say, listen, Pastor Heath, would you help me? I really want to be that person to walk the walk. And would you pray for me? If that's you this morning, would you just put your hand up, put it back down again? I just want to pray for you. Listen, I just want to walk the walk. I want to be that person. Thank you. I just want to walk the walk. Anyone else? Real quick before I pray. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I pray that, again, I think the only way that a church can be who you've called it to be, first and foremost, is we recognize we serve a possible God, that all things are possible with you. Lord, I think it also takes a church of people that are willing to partner with this possible God. And Lord, we're imperfect. We make mistakes. We have history. We have all these things in front of us and behind us. But God, we know that if we take that and we partner it with you, Lord, you have a way of redeeming that. You have a way of setting us on a different course. You have a way of bringing joy and peace and comfort and provision to our lives. So Lord, help us today, even those so many who raise their hand and say, Lord, I want to walk the walk. Help us, Lord, to be men and women who are courageous. Let us be conscious of areas that, Lord, we haven't submitted to you, and give us the ability to say, God, forgive me. Lord, I want to be with you. I want to serve that impossible God, a God that can do all things, even beyond what I could possibly ask or imagine. That's a good God, and we're excited to serve, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, don't leave yet. Hang on. I know you're ready to get to lunch. I just want to give you some instructions before we go. We have some of our team, some beautiful moms that would love to, board members and staff who want to give you a free gift. If you are a mom in here, we have a free gift we'd like to give you out of the by the fireplace when you leave. And listen, there's instructions here. Moms, you have permission. You tell the pastor told you to be selfish today, all right? When you get this rose or you get this out here, do not give it to your kid or your grandkid. You look them in the face and say, no soup for you, right? Like, you look them in the face and you say, this isn't for you, this is for me, right? Back off, Jack, all right? The other thing you have permission to, like, be pampered today. This is your day. When you have my permission, if they take you to a restaurant, order the most expensive thing on the menu, even if you don't like it. So that when your kids look at you, they're like, and your dad, you're like, shut up, my day, right? And then take it home, all right, whatever. But I want you to enjoy the day. This is your day. Be pampered. Be selfish today. Enjoy it, all right? Let's pray a prayer of blessing before you leave. Lord, I pray blessings upon your people. I pray blessings upon moms. Man, we thank you for our mothers. And I pray today, maybe there's a mom in the room who's disconnected from their family. I pray that today that they would sense your presence on them. That God, you'd bring healing, you'd bring comfort. Maybe there's a mom in here who's lost kids. I pray, God, that you would be the peace that would come into their lives. Lord, we just thank you for our moms. They're a blessing to us. And we ask, God, that they would have special favor as we recognize them today. And so, Lord, I pray blessings upon your people. May your face shine upon them. May you prosper us and watch over us, Lord Father. May we be willing and courageous to follow you in all your ways and acknowledge you, Jesus, and allow you to direct our paths. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.